Hey, so again, I know that many of you received my email in which I mentioned that we're going to be walking through an announcement today. And this announcement is one that we feel like is important enough to take the majority of our time actually together in a worship service to walk through. This announcement is going to be shared or is currently being shared at all three of our campuses, and so everyone's going to hear the same thing. And so what I'm going to do is actually share the announcement first so that there's not anxiety and fear while we're walking. This is a good thing, but I'm going to share that first. Then I'm going to talk about a little bit of a background and share some background as to how we got to where we are today in terms of the announcement. And then I am going to take some time to just try and focus us this morning on the things that I think are going to be most important for us as we move forward. So it's good to see so many of you here. I'm going to pray one more time, and then we'll launch right into this. So would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, this is your church. And it has always been your church. It will always be your church. The fact of the matter is, you do not need me. You do not need us. You don't even need this church. We could crumble away and you would still receive all of your glory. And so we praise you that you are a God like that. But we also thank you, Lord Jesus, that you choose to use us as individuals and as a local church, not because of anything in us, but because you love us. I pray that we would experience your love in more profound ways today, and that our hearts would be tuned more accurately to your Spirit. And we pray these things in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, here's what's going on. The leadership of Redemption Hill Church, it's the overseer team, the pastoral team, through months of prayer, through many, many hours of discussion, and in response to the recent external health assessment that we've walked through with Nancy Moore and Associates, have decided that Redemption Hill Church will no longer be pursuing multi-site as a ministry model. Instead, what has become increasingly clear to us is that we have three unique, distinct congregations of people who love the Lord Jesus Christ and desire to serve him together as individual churches. Here's what this means. Uptown, the Uptown campus, and our campus here in La Habra, will be planted as autonomous, self-sustaining churches. If you walked through the assessment and if you paid attention there, you saw Uptown is in a really great place. They're experiencing growth and transformation, and we just want to praise the Lord. They've been at this for 7 years, almost 8 years now, and they're doing well, and they're ready to become their own autonomous church. And so they are going to be pursuing that with a goal of launching Easter of 2018, so April. That's their goal. What does that mean for us? It means that we're following in the same trajectory. It means that from this point forward, we are beginning to engage in an intentional process aimed at discerning where we are exactly as a congregation and where we need to be in order for us to launch in a healthy way. And our commitment to you as a leadership team is that we will pursue this as quickly and as wisely as possible. So that's what's going on. Let me give a little bit of background, and then we're also going to talk about what this process may look like right after that. When I came on to church staff in 2008, there were already conversations going on at a leadership level about what it would look like for Whittier Hills to multiply. At the time, it was Whittier Hills Baptist Church. We were one campus meeting in one location, about 900 people or so on the weekend at a church facility that really should have fit, you know, two-thirds of that. So those are great challenges to have as a church. We had facility problems, we had parking problems, all of those kinds of things. But perhaps more pressing than that and more important than that was that we believe that we serve a God who is never a God that said, you need to make your way to me. Is never a God that said, you need to climb a ladder to get to me. You need to be good enough to be in my presence, which is the primary difference between Christianity and every other world religion. And so all throughout Scripture, we see that God sends the Son who lives a life that we could not live, died a death in our place to pay the penalty for our sins. And then as Christ ascends, he sends the Spirit to dwell in our hearts and lives, to empower us, to equip us, encourage us on this mission that God has given to each and every one of us. And so we are by nature sent ones, sent into the world, armed with the greatest news that the world has ever heard, to accomplish this mission, to go and make disciples. And so we are supposed to go. And so it is with that theological conviction that we said, we don't want to just simply grow bigger in one place or purchase a new big building and become larger. What we want to do is go into cities and neighborhoods and to the nations armed with this message. And so we launched the Uptown campus in 2011. And then in 2014, this campus, La Habra, was launched. And it was an exciting time. My wife and I just remember being so excited for what was going on here, in one sense really longing to be here with many of you, but praying and being very, very encouraged about things we were hearing. Meanwhile, behind the scenes, I guess, there were a number of challenges that were beginning to become more and more significant as a result of the model of ministry that we had chosen. We began to experience some serious communication breakdown, as many of you know, that became very challenging with three campuses and three locations. We experienced the pinch, the financial pinch of attempting to run ministry in three different locations, and that became difficult. We experienced the challenge of leading an organization with three campuses, and as our leadership team became more and more disconnected, that became more and more challenging. It was about the time where Dennis needed to step down that many began to say or ask the question, is this viable for us to move forward with this model? And clearly we've come to a decision that it's not viable. One of the things that we've learned over the last number of years is that there are some key things that are more often than not present in multi-site churches that are experiencing a lot of success, and things that we don't have or things that we wouldn't choose to have. Some of those include a very strong central leadership, and usually coupled with a strong CEO-type leader who has authority and kind of control over everything that happens in the organization at a campus-to-campus level. Another thing that we have seen is really that these successful churches pursue what we call a franchise model of ministry. So if you've ever been to Starbucks, anywhere in the world, you know you can walk into Starbucks in Spain or Dubai probably and get a caramel macchiato, right? It's the same type of thing that from campus to campus. Our men's ministry is identical. Our women's ministry is identical. Children's ministry looks the same. And everywhere you go, you know you're going to get a consistent experience. Well, we have a conviction that all ministry is local ministry. And ministry, in order to be most successful, needs to have the ability to contextualize to the people, the neighborhood, the region that they're seeking to reach. And so instead of doing those things, we said we want to... another thing would be a video venue or preaching that's on a screen, which is hard to pastor and shepherd people when you can't see them. And so we said that we want campus pastors at each campus who function much more like lead pastors, who care for and shoulder the primary leadership burden on a campus. And we want local leadership where we have elders and deacons at each campus who care for and shepherd the body in the flock. So we have established values from the beginning that really have, they set a trajectory for us in the very beginning, that led us to where we are today. And so I want to say a couple things to you from me as your pastor. You are owed an apology. So I'll say from me, because I was a part of this broader leadership team, that I need to ask for your forgiveness. And it's not just me, but I played a role in this. I need to ask for your forgiveness because we did not properly understand the implications of the model of ministry that we were creating. And because of that, there was a lot of pain that was caused. There was a lot of personal hurt. And for that, I am deeply sorry. For any role that I played in that, I am deeply sorry. Another thing that I want to specifically apologize for, and this is, I think, maybe the most important thing to apologize for, is I think we failed as a leadership team to properly shepherd and care for the flock in the way that we're biblically called to do that. I think we did not respond to hurt in the congregation. I think we created an environment where many felt unheard and perhaps were unheard. And I believe we really did not hit the mark in terms of the types of leaders that we're called to be. And so for that, and any role I played in that, I want to ask for your forgiveness. My prayer for a long time now has been that we would acknowledge that what we walked through as a church and what you bore here at this campus, we would acknowledge that that was a very unhealthy season that we walked through with very, very unfortunate mistakes that have taken place. We would acknowledge that that was a reality we want to move away from, and that we would decide as a family to step into a new reality, and that from this day moving forward, we would make the choice to forget what lies behind and to strive for what God has for us in the future. It doesn't mean that the things that have happened in the past are irrelevant. They're certainly not. We look around the room and we see seats where maybe our loved ones, our dear friends were, and they're not here. And I think it's important for me and for our leadership to acknowledge that, and to say we see that and we know that, and it deeply saddens us as well. But I'm excited to move forward. It doesn't mean that it's going to be easy, and there's lots of things that we need to pursue in order for us to move forward in a healthy way. But it does start with us making the decision to say we will move forward into a new reality. I would assume you have a lot of questions right now, and that makes sense. Where do we go from here? What we get to do now is together we get to begin to build or create a specific list of goals and things that we need to accomplish in order for us to launch well. And so this is something that, as I've talked with our campus leadership team about, we're very excited to be open and transparent with you about, and want to invite you into this process. So we will come before you at some point in the not very distant future with a really specific list of things that need to be accomplished. But this morning, what I want to do is just give you some broad categories so that you can have an understanding of what it is we're kind of talking about that we need to move forward in order to do this well. We need to move forward in finances. If you were here last week, you heard Mark give a financial update, And we want to praise the Lord that we are in the black. And that's a huge thing after the time that we've gone through. It means that we manage the budget well. We don't spend more than we bring in, but we're not hitting our budget. And so I would just encourage you to begin to pray. And I have no personal knowledge of anyone's giving in this room, but I would just say we need to pray about becoming more financially engaged as we move forward. The second thing that I think we need to begin to really pursue, or we have been pursuing, is a location. And so we want to praise the Lord. I mean, this is amazing. Think about this. I preached my very first sermon less than 4 months ago to this group at Sonora, and I preached my very second sermon to this group here. That's a picture of God's grace and provision for us. And you know, we need to acknowledge that we left one place and we landed the next week in an environment like this, which is amazing. But I think there are some particular things we want to pursue moving forward in order to establish ministry in a local context where we feel called to. And so we've talked a lot about these things, but there's things that we want to pursue. So we had a really encouraging meeting this week with a local church in La Habra. It's a Spanish-speaking congregation. You're going to make fun of me here, but Iglesia Biblica Fundamental. Where's Maria? Yeah, okay, thank you. How'd I do? Huh? Oh, great, thank you. So, see, the Lord is going to grow us all through this. Pastor Hugo Garcia, just a kind, awesome man. There's a real possibility there. So it's a church in between, on La Habra Boulevard, in between Beach and Idaho, on the south side of the street. So there's a Spanish-speaking congregation looking to partner with an English-speaking congregation to reach the city of La Habra. So really positive. We're gonna bring some of our leadership team over there this week to do a walkthrough, and we'll let you know kind of how things are moving along with that. But that's super exciting. And I'll share more of the story next week. We have an immediate need for our youth ministry. So Jacob and Julia are going to be moving to Idaho in December, and we're going to be so very sad about that. They've been doing just an amazing job, but we care about and value our youth, and so we need to find someone who is going to oversee our youth ministry. So you can be praying. I have three meetings this week with potential people. So we're very, very committed to this, and we're committed to our youth. We don't believe that youth are the future of the church. We believe that youth are a vital element to our church, and that if you're in the youth ministry here, we need you. We need you, and we care for you just as much as you need us. And so we need to pursue that. We need to pursue just growing in some of our systems. So as God blesses us and brings people to us, we need to have a well thought through and healthy system of assimilation to get people into relationships where they, as we've talked about, learn to submit every area of their life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And so part of that is just systems. There's other things that we need to pursue. Not all of them are huge things, but things that need to be in place, I think, before we feel like we can launch. And then finally, and perhaps most importantly, we need to have a clear vision and mission. So with this announcement and with this decision, we are now free to pursue a vision and a mission for this congregation in particular. And so that's going to be something that we are working on now and on into the future, and it's something that we need to hear from you. So this is a first opportunity for us to lead in a different way, to hear your passions and the things that you feel God placing in your heart. And we are all followers of Christ. If you are a follower of Christ in here, you have the Spirit, and we just believe that the Spirit is moving and working, not simply in my life or the life of the overseers, but in all of our lives. And so we just have to believe that some of the best ideas for ministry are going to come from you. And we want to hear you, and we want to listen to you. So, again, I'm sure at this point, Maybe a lot of things swimming around in your head. A lot of things to maybe, a lot of questions that you may have. We're going to have a time at the end of our service to have a Q&A. I'm going to bring the overseers who are here up, and we'll try to answer questions. We'll also stay after the service to answer any sort of questions